blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning? Let's go ahead.
So I'm just diving in here.
Right.
I think what I've been looking at is the unconditional and the practice of I choose unconditional love. So a lot has arisen in that practice.
As you've been practicing that unconditional practice of I choose unconditional love.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of stormy internal weather this morning. You know, just a lot of things getting stirred up. One of the things this week that's been really quite obvious to me that is the choosing the unconditional and unconditional love regarding this physical body. It's shocking. Uh-huh. It's shocking to see. It's shocking to see the level at which conditioned mind has been in control of, you know, this is what it needs to do, this is how it needs to do it, and it needs to, you know, and just constant, just being much more aware of the constant focus on that conversation of what's, what it needs to do, to, you know, to get up to snuff.
To get up to snuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So that practice of really, I choose unconditional love, practicing the unconditional, it sounds like has brought to the surface something that it sounds like it's been really prevalent, but you haven't necessarily realized it, of how conditional the physical is treated with.
Yeah.
It has to be a certain way, it has to...
it's just one of those things that's kind of been under the radar a lot, and that... well, everything will be okay as soon as we get this certain, you know, it's you know, and that could go across the map everywhere.
Right.
But
always that sense, as soon as this one.
As soon as this gets fixed, then, yeah. And so this week I've been practicing with, there's a really deep knowing that everything responds to love. Yeah. Everything responds to love. It doesn't matter what it is. It just wants to be loved.
Yeah.
And so just catching the conversation when it goes to, oh God, oh no, there it goes again, to, you know, I choose unconditional love and thank you.
Uh-huh.
And just thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for... for everything,
yeah.
That, you know, mm-hmm. And thank you for just hanging in through this.
Right.
You know.
Hanging in through what was under the radar of, yeah, that being treated, yeah, so conditionally.
So conditionally. And, wow, just as you say that, it's just, this is a lot of the stormy weather.
Mm.
Just seeing how so much has just been,
yeah,
conditional. And I've been handed, it feels like, you know, there's just a lot of big, they're not big, it's just that there's certain things that a conditioned person grows up thinking that these are like milestones, like one of those was being a grandma for me.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out that I'm going to be a grandmother, but I'm not, it's another big letting go, that I'm not allowed to be in relationship with this child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whew,
yeah.
You know, and knowing in that place of no separation,
yeah.
So, you know, there's lots of, there's lots of grandkids.
Right.
There's just so many, and also just being with that person. That's,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. That nothing is excluded from that unconditional love. That it truly is such a practice of being with this here now, whatever,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's the pain of that. You know, there's this really big milestone, and we're so conditioned to see it in a certain way, and it has to go a certain way, and then realizing, oh wait, that's all conditional. And what I truly want is the unconditional.
Yeah.
And there can be that exquisite place, at least in my experience, when what we're conditioned to feel like are painful places, because they're conditional, are met with that unconditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that emotion there, that there is that almost the heart breaking open.
Yeah.
So it's both that openness and the pain of it, that movement of the heart breaking open.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, thank goodness to practice.
Yeah.
You know, to just to be able to go to that place of of acceptance,
yeah,
and love,
yeah,
you know, like, oh gosh, you know, just feeling this love for,
yeah,
everybody, and that's a miracle.
It is a miracle. Yeah.
It's just a huge miracle.
It is, yeah.
And I don't know, it just feels like more content, but it's just, a lot of letting go around those things that, that love has to come from a certain place,
yeah,
and love a certain way,
and
just,
yeah,
letting all of that go.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I'm so struck with just that we get what we need.
Yes. Yeah.
And
as you say, the gratitude for the practice that meets that.
Yeah.
Right? That,
yeah,
we're actually, you know, all of the practice that we've done for however long we've done,
mm-hmm,
it is available to us in those moments.
Yeah.
And then instead of just having to survive that, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. kind of get through in some way, mm-hmm. we actually, you know, it sounds like what you're pointing at is we actually get expanded yeah. in the process of that.
Yeah, yeah, it feels that way. It feels, wow, it is so much more expanding in an expansive state than I would have, if I'm not in practice, it would have all been about me,
yeah.
and, oh, man, and there just would have been a lot of, you know, sides being drawn, sure. and, you know, what's right and what needs to be fixed,
yeah.
and everything.
And all the other people we tend to drag into our drama,
yeah.
and that's going on,
yeah.
and
yeah.
trying to do this, and trying yeah. to do that. And
yeah. So, boy, that whole thing about the family that we lived under the same roof with, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. both as a growing up and then, you know, as a parent, mm-hmm. I have to turn to, I turn to St. Francis.
Yeah.
And a lot of other folks that I've read that, you know, were able to just say, you know, I have other work to do.
Yeah. you know? And that you're, you know, it's like, I mean, the Buddha was the ultimate example of
yeah.
it. And you're not excluded from it.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't like you people, and now I'm going to do my
right.
own thing, which
yeah.
would just be the other
yeah.
side of a duality.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's just that, you know, I'm called to the process of love.
Yeah.
And that we get to a place where not only are we unwilling, but we can't justify leaving the process of
yeah.
love in order to meet a content of a conditional love.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm called to the process of love.
Yeah.
Because I see that arise, like, okay, well, fine. Fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I don't care if I ever see you again
right.
either.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like you either.
I don't like you either. You know, I never did like you.
Right. Yeah. Which so, you can just feel the heart ripping
really,
that, right?
Really.
Not opening, but just the
it's
oh.
just that, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I didn't tell you before you told me, you know.
Right.
And so yeah, so it's just to just be in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
And to choose the process of love.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what I hear in that is the courage to transcend that I, me, mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
To go beyond that, again, to the process of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me, I remember years ago when we first got Sadie, when she was a puppy, and she got so sick.
Yeah.
Like a week after we got her.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word? Not mortally sick, but where you could die.
Bravely,
I can't think of the word.
Whatever.
And someone saying to me along the lines of, what an amazing practice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, I mean, when we truly didn't know what was going to happen, can you love this dog
yeah.
completely and unconditionally, not knowing the outcome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it's that place of, can we love everything? Can we love
mm-hmm.
this child who I may never see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah, because there's just been such a conditioned process of kind of tiptoeing around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to check this out to see if I love you.
Right.
Is it going to get returned?
Right.
And then, okay.
Right.
Then, okay. Then we'll go for it.
Right.
You know,
right.
instead of being in that place of, wow, I mean, that with Sadie, and, you know, just to be in that, I may not have ever,
yeah.
other than this, what's this in this moment
yes.
relationship?
Yes.
And can I just love
yeah.
right there?
Yeah.
Just be in that process.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Because in some ways it's the ultimate vulnerability. Because it's that willingness to completely open the heart to to what feels like is going to be dangerous, or, you know, instead of that place of like, let me just check this out, make sure it's safe, and you're going to, you know, reciprocate, and then I'll jump in. So it can feel like it's completely vulnerable, and yet at the same time, it's ultimate safety. It reminds me of that peace quote, you know, from Sherry, a heart that's completely surrounded by love cannot be harmed.
Yeah.
So if it's only the process of love,
yeah,
then, you know, let's say it didn't go that way, and say you didn't survive,
yeah,
we still have the process of love.
Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but it seems, I got a letter from a friend recently who was gravely ill, and she didn't know if she was going to live. And she got an oncologist, a fairly enlightened oncologist, who was a meditator, and told her that the reason she sought out oncology is because in that space, when a person knows that they could die or they could live, there's complete openness.
Wow.
And that she, you know, could just go there with that person and be with that. And I thought, that's it.
Wow.
That's what we've just been talking about. You know, just that.
Exactly.
And that's Zen.
Exactly.
It's Zen to just be in that place of, I don't know if I'm going to be here the next minute.
Right.
So can I just open my heart fully in this moment and invite that person in?
Wow. And it is Zen, isn't it? Because that what we're doing with practice is practicing to remember that in every moment.
Yeah.
And often it does take those things.
Yeah.
You know, huge disappointments or things not going at all the way they're supposed to go, or a diagnosis like that, or, you know, a pet being gravely ill, or something that puts us right up against what's always true, which is how transient everything is, how we don't know, how we only have this moment.
Yeah. Instead of wanting to grab it all and drag it all. Arrange
everything just so, make sure you're going to love me before I love you.
Yeah. And to just be in that space, that openness.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Maybe something very similar. I've been looking at, well, a couple of things. We'll see how they fit together, but staying in the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that could certainly be called unconditional love.
Yeah, staying in the energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of practice has been, what are the voices doing and how do I disidentify?
Uh-huh.
Which is an important point. And it seems like it would be really great to get my energy to staying here rather than going out there and trying to get back here.
Because there could be a danger, I think this is what you're saying, and what are the voices up to? Uh-huh. There's a danger in my attention being out there on what are the voices doing.
Yeah.
Instead of just staying here.
Yeah. I mean, just that place of we actually don't have to leave presence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's helpful to see that back and forth.
Yeah.
And we can just train to be here. It's not a requirement to go unconscious.
Yes, and once we have that skill under our belt of, we know what the voices, we see their patterns, you know, the ways that they, you know, the key phrases, all of that, here I am in the present moment, and the voices attempt to come in, or they pull my attention for a minute, having that skill under our belt really assists us with, got it, here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so fun to see it that way, you know, like, there are no mistakes in practice, like, there's just, I don't even know if it's stages, because then it seems like you just come back around anyway and do the same thing, you know, or maybe see it in a different way. But I just love, I do some coaching, and I just love watching what comes out of me is always the stuff I need to hear.
Yeah.
And just that place that you were talking about with when we stay here and we've done that practice, we know what the voices say, they show up just so, it's just so obvious. You know, so when we're in that kind of larger field, if something comes in that's not a part of that, you know, not supporting that expansiveness, it's obvious in the sense that it's not, I don't have to be hooked by it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's just kind of like, I feel the energy of that, and that's not where I want to go, and I just can stay here.
Uh-huh. So when the attention is here, and one of those things does attempt to come in, it sounds like your awareness has expanded enough to be able to recognize that and to be able to make the choice. Do you recognize what that is and then choose to stay here and not go with it?
Yeah, and maybe enough of what are the voices saying, that I don't really care so much what they're saying. You know, because that can always be a draw. Well, maybe there's some information that I need, and I'll just look at that for a little bit.
Yeah.
And now, more on an energy level, I can just feel, as soon as my attention starts to turn to that thing that comes from egocentric karmic conditioning, I can feel the energy dip.
Mm.
And that's just enough signal of, I don't need to know anything else.
Uh-huh.
I want to be where the energy is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's interesting, because you started with, you know, being in the energy. And that energy can be a big clue of what's going on. So as you feel that energy dip, you realize, oh wait, the energy's being siphoned off. It's going, you know, over to conditioning. I want to be where the energy is.
Yeah. And I think that's connected to kind of an example. I've been asked to make bread recently, and just to watch the different things that arise. Like, you know, there's that, I gotta do it on my own today. Like, why? There's too many steps, and I'm not gonna remember it all. And everyone's gonna have to eat this, and I, you know, and then I can just hear this. Yes, I so want to make bread. This is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And just how much in my world I think that's always been there.
That yes.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I want to cook. I want to create. Yeah. I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
But the attention goes to, there's too many things, and I'm not going to be able to, and, you know, how about tomorrow when I have a little bit more energy,
right.
And...
It's totally reasonable, right?
Totally.
Just, okay, how about this, and, you know, just that.
Yeah. In a way that, you know, across my lifetime, I, you know, haven't been able to do new things.
Mm.
You know, haven't been able to explore those places.
Yeah.
And again, seems reasonable, I'll do it tomorrow. Course, then there's a little beating in there, and now I feel bad, and somehow that's associated with the thing, so now I really can't, I don't want to even go near that
thing. I don't
want
to do it, yeah.
Yeah, so just to stay with the, yes, you know, I want to do this, and have the mentor come in and just be like, well, let's just, how about all that other stuff, fine, but how about we just go make bread?
Yeah.
And we'll just do it step by step.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to go through that, and then, great, you know, all this, like, magic of, like, gluten, folding on gluten, and parachutes of pockets and gases and expanding. And is that when it rises, is it supposed to puff over the bowl like that? Like, it's supposed to get that big? Like, how does it do that, you know? Just all this amazement. And then, you know, the bread maybe coming out a little bit denser, and
sometimes less dense and nice rises.
Yeah, yeah. And so then I got to do it again, and I watched go into that other thing, where it was like, okay, well, how did it get dense last time?
Mm.
How come it didn't rise as much as we would like it to?
Mm.
And there's the turning. And then there's the, is the water too cold or too, you know? And it just got highlighted to me. I'm in that energy place.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to happen. This isn't going to happen from that place.
Right. Yeah.
Even in the sense of, that's the energy going into this bread.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it just occurred. That's not, I don't know. Actually, but let's get back to the energy.
Yeah.
And so at that point, it was to the needing. Mm-hmm. And when we need it, it's, you know, this full turn, 400 times. And it's so cool because I got that needing shown to me, both kind of the mechanics and like what we're going for. I also, which was what you need, and I also got shown kind of more the energy or the art of it, and it was so awesome to have both. So then there was just, I don't know, I wonder if it's something about the needing, I don't know either. I don't know, let's just totally go for it. 400 times, let's do it 400 times.
Yeah.
Let's do it and be there every time.
Yes.
And not thinking about that, but just that, you know, that energy, feel that motion, and just, you know, just over and over, a little bit of thought. You know, feeling the heat. Oh, yeah, a little sweat. All right, good.
Yeah.
Good, you know.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yeah, and I just like, wow, that's got to be a different bread. Just from that place of, here's that energy.
Yeah.
That's the ingredient going in that you can't see.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much in it, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that place where we get robbed of that energy in our lives, that you suspected that that yes has always been there.
Yeah.
And that quote reasonable process of, well, you know, I don't really have all the information yet, and let me just, and then tomorrow, and that little beating that's in there that then starts to get associated with the thing, and before we know it, that thing that there was that life yes for is shelved.
Yeah.
And we never get to have it back. And so in this case, it's just like you started with, it's actually quite handy to have enough practice behind us that we realize that's a process.
Yeah, exactly.
Because how many times do we have to see that before that catches our attention? Either the conversation or that cue of the energy dropping catches our attention and we realize, wait, I'm about to be robbed of that yes again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's in our awareness, then we can say, I don't really know, I mean, this is what I hear you saying, I don't know what the alternative is, but how about we just be here and see? And then life just kind of guides us, right? To this other way.
Yeah.
And there happens to be this other fabulous outcome, which isn't a requirement necessarily, is it, right? Because in the process, we have everything. Yes. Even the detail of, I love that place of, how about we just walk through the steps?
Yeah.
So the guy who maybe is feeling a little unsure, this is new to him, doesn't get left behind, right? Yeah. It's not a sense of like, just make the bread and get out of your head. Like, he's actually attended to also. Well, let's just walk through the steps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting. It's almost, that's just the acknowledgement.
Yes. You know,
it's that unconditional love.
Exactly.
But that guy's not actually going to make the bread.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not left behind.
But he's not left behind.
His experience isn't denied.
That.
He's not...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a good summary.
And then the energy of it is back.
Yeah.
Which you need for needing bread.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good workout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, it's just so grateful. It just feels like that's what a lot of practice is about, is like going up against the no's and converting the energy into the yes.
I love that. I wish that it was a video, because what you just did was exactly kneading bread.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The no's, and then we just convert it into the yes, and then we flip it around again. Because that's what conditioning is always doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it converted the yes.
Flip it 90 degrees, flip it 90 degrees to try to get us to not to see it, and then to fold it in. But we use that against it, right? We flip it in and we need that bread. And we keep bringing it back to the yes.
Yeah.
We keep bringing it back to
the yes. It was fun because the deal was, if I, just like counting a meditation when you go back to one, I didn't go back to one, but if I lost it, I would go back to the number I knew I said.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, it, and then when you were just saying that no yes, it's almost like everything's always been a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that conditioning has come in and converted them into no's. And all I'm doing is, all the practices is converting them back to the yes they've always been. Yeah.
And you know what's so beautiful about that, Scott, is that so often what conditioning tries to do in that place is, you know, we hear people say things like, gosh, all that time wasted and all those yeses. And but actually, if we realize that the yes has always been there and that all those no's are being folded into awareness, we become more and more and more helpful. Because we're able to see all the things conditioning does on that impersonal level to create suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to fold each one back into the yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it just keeps throwing whatever it throws at us, and we just keep converting it back in.
Boy, that's so fun too. Just from emotion, like,
yeah.
What else you got? Throw another nap.
Exactly.
You know, and you're just turning it and flipping it, and then it's back, wow, you know? And then you start to think, God, the impact on this life and the world of converting that energy back into a yes, back into something that can be used for everybody. It's like,
truly,
how fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, back to the miracle of, like, we take this little jar with these little pebbles, you know, put it in water, add flour, and this thing just starts growing.
It is,
I mean, it's
it
just
is amazing. Wow.
Astonishing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to give a report on dropping the conversation and turning no's into yeses. Was when I heard you say, you know, things get put on the shelf through that that making it about me suffering process, and then we kind of have that feeling of we're not allowed to go back to them, or they're somehow taken from us. Well, I've been doing an emptying the teacup daily challenge in the Bridgewalk campaign, which is taking those things off the shelf and turning them into a yes, especially the things where there's that most strong feeling of I can't go near this because there's such a feeling bad or there's such a charge or
that's a perfect level. Choosing to take it off the shelf.
Yeah, because I know what's been put on the shelf through that process. Right. It's all there. It's all filling up the teacup.
As if it's not impacting us when we're not pulling it off the shelf. Exactly. And to realize it completely is.
Yes. So there was a recognition that the teacup was so full of that process, of that suffering process. And okay, I'm going to do one thing a day. And, you know, get to ask life, okay, what's it going to be today? And then get to record about what it's like and the celebration and then choose the thing for the next day. And the impact on the energy is just phenomenal.
Yeah, because of what you said, right? That you realize they're back there all the time.
Yes.
Draining that energy. No, don't go there, don't think about that, can't have that, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then to realize, no, I want to turn those no's into yeses.
Yes.
And so we love that process of letting life drop in. Yes. Which one is it today? Yes. So it doesn't have to be a big thinking process or a planning process. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of them to go around.
Plenty of them.
For all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. So the torture mechanism had been, you know, it might just throw one in and there'd be that jab and that and a kind of deflation. And I'm feeling that kind of creeping energy. And now when it attempts that, because I know I'm in the process of turning the no's into the yeses, it's like, yeah, I'm getting to that.
Right. Yeah, no problem. Put it on the shelf. We'll get to it.
Exactly.
There's plenty of room.
Exactly. There isn't that feeling of overwhelm that can build when it throws in those things and, I haven't done one of it and that.
And there are all those others, and so I'm never going to get to it.
But because I'm like consciously, with everything going for that process of yes and cleaning up, then there's no feeling of overwhelm, just that. It's like a steady step by step. Yes, I'm cleaning that up. Yes, I'm cleaning it up. Yes, I don't feel that like kind of cowering, prey victim place of all, I haven't. And
it's exactly what was coming up for me too. It's a complete shift from basically being a victim. Which is true for all of us, you know, victim of our lives, right?
Yes.
Oh, there's this and there's that, and I'm not dealing with any of it, and now there's more, and I'm now really not going to deal with it, and, you know.
Yes.
But to move that process around and realize, what?
Yeah.
Of course I can take those things off the shelf. And once we do that, as we begin to take those things off the shelf, then as other things arise, which they do, that's how life is, you know, things come up, there's lots to it.
Yeah.
That there can be that place of, that's all right, good. Mm-hmm. Because I'm in a process of step by step taking care of these things. Mm-hmm. So that one will get taken care of too.
Yeah, absolutely. It just, it's like the energy can relax and expand. And it is that feeling of becoming more available, because it's exactly that you were pointing at, that disidentifying from that victim position of feeling victimized by life. And because what I was seeing was there's this whole mechanism controlling everything. If it can make me feel victimized by something, I get to say no to it. It's going on the shelf.
Right.
It's too hard. It's too much.
Hard.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's too much is being asked of me somehow by life. And it was just disidentifying from that it was around that time of, you know, starting this, you know, that was the kind of impetus for it. And then it just built. I mean, I'm in this really passionate, determined campaign of dropping the conversation, that's what's arising, like seeing that level of conversation about things being hard or somehow an orientation of, this hungry ghost pull of wanting things to be easy without examining what that means or that is.
Right.
And that then this unconscious assumption about these things in my life are too hard and are obstacles that shouldn't be there. And as soon as there's that feeling of things aren't as I want them more, things aren't as they should be, then I'm in that victim position and I get to say no to it.
And they are hard. That is the hard, right?
Yes.
There's so much.
Yes.
And it truly does feel hard. Right. And that, I mean, I just get this image as you're talking, like bricks, you know, attached to my leg, and it's like, okay, now I'm going to deal with this. Yeah. You know, and it's so hard. Yes. And it feels hard.
Yeah.
In that place.
It really, 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 really does. Yes. And it can feel so, it's one of those things that really, like, screams, this is real. Like, it's real. And that's the clue to catch on to, that it's not real. But no, it's real that the energy is low and that this is hard. Right. It's like almost like feeling out the walls of the prisons. I know that this
can't
is an illusion.
There's something not, going, yeah.
Yeah, right? And
And what's so interesting is that, at least the way you lay it out, as soon as that's seen and that shift is made, it becomes easy.
Yes.
Which is the irony, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we're talked into this conversation of, well, two, both things. You know, life shouldn't be this hard. Mm. But it is. But it is this hard. And I can do it. Okay, here I go to do it.
Willing victim.
Willing victim.
Willing
you know?
Victim.
And, but it shouldn't be this hard, you know? The other side of the duality would be like, all right, fine, it's hard, but I can do it, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah.
But this place that you're talking about is completely outside of that duality. It's disidentified from all of it, realizing, of course we can.
Yes.
It's like the bread, step by step.
Exactly.
And as we do it, it actually does become easy.
Yes.
Because all we're ever doing is what we're doing in this moment. And we're always doing something in this moment. Mm-hmm. Might as well be this.
Yes, and I might as well be here for it. Enjoy.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, what a notion. Right? Yeah.
But it truly is that, like, every moment is an opportunity to say thank you for something.
Yes.
And, you know,
it's the two choices of the compost, isn't it?
Yeah, truly.
Right?
Yeah.
We can take out the compost and hate it and be miserable. Or we can take out the compost and be so joyful and happy for a trillion reasons.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. So many that I don't have time to say thank you for them all before I've got back with the compost, the empty compost bucket.
The empty compost bucket, yeah.
And it's just true. All of this revealed by dropping the conversation. I heard it, I think Sherry was saying on Open Air recently that, you know, we have such a conditioned orientation to kind of go into the day with this is hard and it shouldn't be, and these things shouldn't be here for me to do. Mm-hmm. And instead, could we flip it to the yes of there are these challenges that are coming up in the day, and I'm going to get to see how I move beyond them, and I'm going to get to celebrate how I move beyond them.
Wow.
And that I've just been, I just keep coming back to that, keep coming back to that, keep coming back to that.
And then, again, either way, we're going to do it. Either way, we're going to walk through that day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Truly, in no or in yes.
Yeah.
In available, I did it the wrong way around. In victim or available.
Yeah.
And, just got to get that conversation.
Yeah.
I've just noticed it, even like waking up out of sleep, there's that. What's hard, you know?
Yeah.
And just, at the moment, on I choose peace and joy.
Uh-huh.
I choose peace and joy.
Uh-huh.
I choose peace and joy. But how are you going to, I choose peace and joy?
Yeah, it's just like that, it's just that tenacious focus,
that
willingness, that faith, that being outside the conversation takes care of everything.
Exactly. And it's like that leap of faith feeling where when you're identified with the conversation, you're identified with being an I who has to do stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but how are you going to get anything? I choose peace and joy.
Yeah.
I choose peace and joy. And then you can feel all of that. Either I can or I can't.
Right.
Drop away to just the horror. I choose peace and joy. I choose peace and joy.
I think, are you saying with that either way, so you're willing, no matter what, to come back to dropping into the hara, I choose peace and joy, regardless of what the quote effect is for the person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, sometimes I can be in a conversation of I can't do something, and sometimes I can be in a conversation of I can do something, but either way, it's a conversation from the side of the centre of the universe, right?
Yeah.
So I've been in a conversation of, so I noticed just this week, I was in a conversation about why I could drop the conversation last week, and I know how that felt. So it was a conversation of I can, and it was that like I know I'm identified, I can feel that I'm not down here in the horror, I can feel I'm in the head, but just like feeling out the prison cell walls, I know the walls here, I can feel it.
Yeah.
And as I was just recording, it was like, oh, because I was in that, I can't, and just that, of course it can't, and you know, just fell away.
Yeah, it's so great, isn't it? Just that willingness to stay with it, no matter where we are in the process, you know, that we do get pulled off into more and more subtle places with it. Now, let's see. It seemed like it was more available last week. I don't know what's going on. Let me just look at, oh, wait, that's a conversation.
Yeah, and even that, you know, like going beyond the ego, turning into an outcome.
Right.
So I'm dropping the conversation to go beyond ego.
I'm going to go beyond ego.
I'm going to do it. I can.
Right.
I can't.
How good I'll be when
And that's the unconditional feeling. It's like for nothing other than choosing the heart.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Here, I choose peace and joy.
Yeah.
Not both, I choose.
Yeah. And of course, you know, for all of us, in this case for you, it's Anna. Anna gets completely cared for.
Mm. Mm.
You know, in the same way Scott doesn't get left behind in the bread.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's the person is so cared for in that process.
Yeah, so good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Becca.
Well, for me, the practice has been around keeping attention on awareness, on the field of awareness, and noticing that that the karmic tendency is to sort through things that are in the field of awareness and decide what are the things that we should or should not have there, that are should be there or should not be there.
That one can stay, that one needs to go.
That one's ego, that's life, that's ego, that's life. I think that might be, what is that, you know?
Yeah.
And this very subtle pushing away. A very subtle pushing away.
It just gets more and more subtle, doesn't it?
As
we go deeper and deeper.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And so the practice has been just keeping attention on the field of awareness, period.
Yeah, no matter what's in it.
No matter what's in it. And lately there's been a lot of energy around something that's just, it feels like there's just this huge surge of passion and enthusiasm and energy for something. And so it's being talked about all the time. That's what's arising in the field of awareness all the time. And I'm watching the process of thinking that that's a conversation that needs to be dropped, but it really is. But the process that really happens is that's the ego trying to push that out of the field of awareness with this subtle, it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
But it gets called, well, that's a conversation that you're in, and you shouldn't be in that.
Right.
But what I'm seeing or what I'm suspecting and practicing with is that that's not really what's happening at all.
Wow.
It's just this huge, well, what the mentor said was, it's just life working stuff out, you know, and it's all in this field of awareness, and the fact that I'm attending to it is not the same as being in a conversation with it.
Wow, it does get subtle. So, because then it sounds like what happens is the conversation that gets started is, well, now you shouldn't be in that conversation. This is something you should be dropping, and really anything to get your attention in the conversation. And what you're suspecting is that this going through, this content, it sounds like, is just what's in the field of awareness. And so you've really been practicing just keeping attention on the field of awareness. And that just happens to be something that's passing through a lot in the field of awareness.
And so out of the corner of my eye, what I'm noticing about that whole process of what I'm suspecting is ego coming in and calling it a conversation, is the karmic process of clamping down, of closing down the excitement or the enthusiasm. Because, I don't know, I'm just kind of seeing this as it's coming out of my mouth, but it feels like that with that enthusiasm for what's going, something that's going on in my life right now, it's just there's a lot of content that arises. There's a lot of stuff connected, real life stuff, you know, and that's what's in the field of awareness. So it's just like, you know, let's say for the image, it's just swimming around. It's coming around. There's fun things to do, or scary things to do, or you know, things to say, or it's just all this matter that arises with the enthusiasm that just wasn't available before that door of the enthusiasm got opened. And so the process of coming in and calling it, well, you know, it uses all kinds of Zen language, like that, you know, I want that silence. I want, you know, I'm not being present to what's here. No, it's obvious that that's what's here, but you know, it calls that noise as if it can't be all held within a larger silence.
I think so. I mean, from what you're laying out, it sounds like I just get this image of kind of life ratcheting it up a notch of like, all right, let's put, you know, she's ready for this larger workshop of putting all of this stuff in the field of awareness. And, you know, there are the birds and the sun and the, you know, what I'm working on right now and the dishes and the, so all of it being in the field of awareness without needing to push out, without sort of becoming an I, it sounds like, who's going to decide, as you started with. Yes, that can be, the birds can be here, but the ideas about the no, that can't be here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The birds are good. The birds are, if you're present, if you're hearing birds, but you're not present if you're noticing this thing, or you know, making this plan to do something or whatever, you know, making this note. And that process, that karmic process of clamping down on the enthusiasm, it's like the ultimate hubris in a way, because it's the one that gets to say birds count, birds good, this bad, and so what's arising, it's becoming the grand, it's not the grand inquisitor, but the grand discriminator. You know,
I'm in charge.
Exactly. And that, and it so uses the language of get out of the conversation. It says it's that, is the, it just says that's the conversation, when in fact that is the initiator of the conversation.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's just completely hidden back there behind its curtain. You know, and it just strikes me as you're talking that, I mean, everything everyone's saying, it's like extraordinary to have a room full of people who, I mean, this is what everyone's saying in some form, is that nothing's more important than being here. And being willing to do whatever it takes to dedicate the entire life to that process. It's extraordinary. And that we can't go wrong. Because when we're paying attention at this level, if there's something that I'm getting, that's some subtle level where it's getting in charge, like, oh, it's starting to parse what can be in the field of awareness and what can't be. So what? We keep paying attention and that's revealed. And if it starts to be able to take over because the content is blah, 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 so what? Because if we stay here, that becomes the most, if we're still in that place where presence is the most important thing, that will be revealed.
And what I'm seeing is that it's more and more. You know, you said nobody gets left behind. The human doesn't get left behind. There's a deeper and deeper and deeper way in which the human doesn't get left behind. So, you know, when you're hearing the birds, there, the human doesn't get left behind because she gets to hear the birds. You know, and then there's another thing of now she gets to be in this, and then now she gets to see Now she doesn't. Now she gets to really experience the enthusiasm of this without it being clamped down. Now she gets to, you know, so even that, it's not as if that's let me see how to say it. There are subtleties and levels of that as well. It's not like the humans either left behind or included there. That's not even a finite static thing to me. It seems like, I think, that there's this ongoing depth to that even as well. Because I can tend to think of it as, well, is the human in or out, you know, or with getting included in life or excluded from life. But even that seems to be a process and not a thing.
That even that gets deeper and deeper as you see more and more about it. Mm-hmm. That you tend to think of it as, is the human included or excluded? But it feels more like that's just something that also gets deeper and deeper and deeper as you go along.
I think so, yeah. Because it, yeah, I think so. It feels like there, I don't know, maybe there is an ultimate that I just haven't reached yet, you know. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Right, exactly. Who knows? Right, who knows? We'll see. Yeah, it's that relaxing place that I think you're describing of, you know, when there is that level of commitment, it's all going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be revealed. Thank you. Linda.
Well, it's great to be here. And I'm really appreciating the conversation. And particularly the first conversation about love and body and unconditional love versus very conditioned love. And I'm going to be working with it because what I've been seeing is how resistant I have been to the process of aging. and I think I've seen a lot about it, but the idea of just approaching being with the body with unconditional love is what I would like to be doing now. Because what I tend to do is you're not being able to do what you used to be able to do and you should be whatever.
Right. Those views are always such a big clue.
Run and jump and do things that don't work very well anymore.
Right, and then the voice comes in to point out to us, well, you can't.
Yeah.
Talking to us in that third party, which is always that big, big clue that it's not me, it's not on my side, it's not in my best interest, it's not supporting me.
Yeah.
And so hearing that possibility of using the process of unconditional love sounds like it really resonated.
Yes, and seeing how the way I have been being with the body is pretty much the way I have most of my life, which is being impatient with it, giving it things that weren't good for it, expecting more of it than, you know, really not the love being conditional, very definitely. Yeah. And not giving it, I feed it well and things like that, but not giving it things that would really make it feel good.
Yeah, we do. And then we expect it to, as you say, perform for me. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, what's the deal here? That we essentially ignore it, or worse, you know, put things into it that aren't helpful. You know, if nothing else, that conversation.
Yeah.
And we can only guess has such a harmful impact on it, you know, for all of us. And then get impatient when it won't perform in the way we think it should.
Yes. Yeah, and watching how the conversation about you're getting old, another you, is corrosive.
Yeah.
And really not helpful.
Right.
As though that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
When I really prefer that to the alternative.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is such a great point and really points at kind of that alchemy that I feel like we've been talking about all morning of it is what is for all of us.
Yeah.
We're aging, right? And that conditioning talks us into having a relationship of resistance to that, which builds up all kinds of things. And then when we get to that place of, wow, I'm aging.
Yes.
Could potentially completely shift it.
Yeah. I got here.
Right. And the gratitude and the compassion and love that can be inspired in that place to take such good care.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it feels like the conversation this morning has been inspiring in that way. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Much gratitude to all.
Yeah. And then what dropped in when you were saying that is that place that recording has in that. You know, that when we have those gifts of seeing something like that, having a door open for us, then we really can begin to, you know, make a recording that assists us to continue to move in that direction.
Yeah, and speaks in those ways to the to the body.
Yeah, exactly. Speaks in those ways to the body. I keep having that image come up of, I think it was a Japanese scientist who did the thing where he took jars of water, right, and put labels on them, and the ones that had love written on the jar. I mean, this is one of those. Come on, really? Can this happen? But there it was, right?
Yeah.
He took photographs of the molecules, and they were just these beautiful, you know, after 24, 48 hours, these beautiful structures that we created. And who knows? I mean, we don't know, but, you know, just that impact of that love being given to the whole system.
Yeah.
Well, just tag on that, you know, it may be a different age, but I'm turning a big one in a few months. And it was so helpful. Well, I'm
congratulations.
Thanks. I'm going to have a retreat.
All right.
But anyway, more on that later. But the thing I was looking at as people were talking, particularly, that I too could, it's so helpful to remember that place of returning to unconditional love. Because my experience going through this transition is actually facing a thing I've not had to look at a lot in life, which is depression. Mm-hmm. And as I map it, I'm like, this should not be happening. You know, I'm a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. I practice Zen for 50 years coming up, you know. And, you know, I'm in shape.
Right.
You know, and I don't have that many wrinkles, but I'm depressed.
This
is not fair. You know, and if I could just practice correctly.
Yeah.
My head doesn't say, just turn down conditional love. Mm. You know, just let that hold it right now.
Right.
This is it.
Right.
We don't have to figure out why.
Right.
We don't have to fix anything. Yeah. Or, you know, this is the next opportunity to practice.
Yeah.
The thing that we've practiced for all these years, and it's not to get a result, which is the tricky part, right?
I haven't
practiced all these years so that I can float off into the sunset in union with God, which is where originally why I was practicing.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's where I was going to be.
Yeah.
I practiced so that I return to that, to unconditional love, to union with God, and that holds it, you know, that kind of... I could relate with the field of awareness thing as well, that when I, for me, they're kind of the same. When I return to unconditional love and just that with each breath, that is my focus, it holds this poor person.
Exactly.
This sensation, this confusion, this wishing it was different, this, you know, and when I practice the other things, the recording and listening, like kind of that good wolf, bad wolf, sort of, not bad wolf, but anyway, just gently moving the attention. Okay, this is all this poor little depressed person can see. Everything is bad.
Right. She's got her blinders
on. You know,
yeah.
The kids, the dog, but that isn't true. It's just a perspective that I get identified with.
Right.
Pretty strongly, I have to say, lately.
Well, and huge compassion for that, right? Because that's a terrible place to live. It stinks to live in believing the kids, something wrong with the kids, something wrong with the dog, da, da, da. It's horrible to live in that place. And so often what happens is the minute we see that, then she gets blamed for living in that place. Well, can't you see? I mean, that's not true. It's an illusion. So blah, blah, blah. but having compassion for that being her life experience.
And I'll tell you the other thing that is being very helpful with this is that it gives me a lot of compassion for others.
Exactly.
Because before, I would say, oh, just read the depression book. Yeah. You know, just wear black for the day. You know, I mean, it just seems so simple, right? Just
make a little depression cake.
It'll be fine. Get your favorite movies. Here, take this book. You know, be off. Right? Yeah. Like that. But, you know, it isn't that simple.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that is a really, it is kind of that heart opening. I too can relate with the parent-daughter thing. And I had an experience the other day with my oldest. And thank goodness for practice. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to make it better. Mm-hmm. My head was trying to make it better. And the ego was trying to tell me this was all my fault. And if we just had a little bit of a wilder lifestyle, she could feel good about herself. But, you know, instead I reflected.
Wow.
I knew I had nothing. Ego had nothing helpful to say in that moment.
Wow.
Nothing helpful for either one of us.
Yeah.
And that I just, you know, default reflected. Yeah. Oh, okay, so.
So huge.
You wish you hadn't been so protected. Mm. And you wish maybe we had alcohol. I mean, she didn't really say that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really. You know, as I reflected.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually kind of do like who I am, but something she couldn't articulate. What I believed was, ego will take whatever life we have.
Yes.
You know, if we're a life of drugs and alcohol, or a life of religious practice,
right?
And somebody somewhere is going to think that is bad if ego tells them it is.
Absolutely.
And if we just reflect, she was able to just cry and. Mm. Be there and be confused, you know, as you reflect, she could see, well, that's kind of confusing. I actually do kind of like it. I don't really want to do those things. And other people, you know, she could just hear what she was saying. Well, yeah, other people are, but they're not really happy doing it. And did they really think I was a bad person? Because I've never, well, no. You know, but if I started lecturing,
you could just watch ego dig in his heels, right?
Totally.
Not her.
Right.
But ego.
Yes.
Because then it just becomes ego talking to ego, which we all experience inside our heads.
Well, and I saw she was probably laughing at me. Well, I'll go get a beer and you can taste it. that was my first one before I saw. You know, a brief slip. But anyway, it's just so helpful to come if I can just default, and I can't many moments, but just encouraged by Sangha.
Yeah.
Just remember, if we just default to that, everybody's okay.
Everybody's okay.
Everybody's acknowledged, everybody's heard, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
It doesn't mean anything about me, it doesn't mean anything about you.
Yeah.
This is your choice today.
Yeah.
You know, I'll send you a card. You know, I'll leave you little notes in your lunch. I'm still going to be me.
Yeah.
You don't have to receive it.
I mean, it's so huge. It's such a teaching, a modeling of nothing wrong across the board, especially with ourselves. You know, so those milestones come up and there are huge disappointments with it. Depression comes along, you know, in the middle of our life. I mean, all these things that happen, and there's such opportunities for unconditional love. For reminding ourselves, okay, if there's nothing wrong, which is what we're practicing, then that must apply here too. Mm-hmm. You know, and being with ourselves in that, that's so huge. You just almost never see people modeling that, practicing that, being that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.